Have you heard about the lady that was dying from cancer, but she got down on her knees, she prayed with all of her heart, she said, God, I'm not ready to die. Please give me 50 more years with my family here on this earth. And God said to her, okay, I have heard your prayer. 50 more years you shall have. Well, this gal got really excited. She said to herself, 50 more years? I better look good if I'm going to be around here that long. And so she went out and she got some plastic surgery done. She had a tummy tuck. She got her hair colored. She bought a whole new wardrobe of clothes. And just as she came out of the department store, having bought all of those clothes and had one of those new outfits on, she got hit by a bus and killed right there on the spot. And when she got up there to the pearly gates, St. Peter let her into heaven, and she walked right over to the throne of God, and she said, God, it's wonderful to be here, hallelujah. But I got to know what just happened down there. You said that I would have 50 more years. And God said, I am so sorry, I didn't recognize you. Now, I know that's a bad joke. But it does remind us that the day is coming that we will leave this earth and we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to need him as our advocate. We talked about that last week, that we need Jesus as our advocate, our defense attorney, that when we stand before the judgment seat, that Jesus will be that defense attorney who will step around to stand beside us, and he will put his arm around us, and he will plead our case before the Father that we are one of his children. And not only will we need him as our advocate, as our defense attorney, but the people that we love will need him as their defense attorney too. And so we need to help them get ready. We need to be introducing people to Jesus all along the pathway of life. I received a text recently from my daughter, Rebecca, about her son, Cal. And this is Cal, our grandson. He's 5 years old, and it was Farmer Day dress-up for Cal in this particular picture. Anything that has to do with the farm or tractors, Cal is all for it. Everett, he would love to just follow you around in a day's time. He would be in hog heaven, literally, if he could do that. He loves the farm, but he, on this particular day that Rebecca's texting me, he had something else on his mind beside the farm. I want to read the text to you. She says, Calvin has a list of the kids in his class. He's been practicing writing their names. Tonight, he was putting big red X's by some of their names. Turns out he was marking the kids in his class who don't love Jesus. I guarantee you, she says, that he has asked every one of them if they love Jesus. Huh. Wow. If we could all have that kind of burden for lost souls. We are our brother's keeper. Satan wants us to think that it's all just a personal matter. It's just between me and God. I don't want to stick my nose into anybody else's business because that's their business. I have my own business. Me and God, we got a thing going, but I don't want to get involved in other people's lives. Brothers and sisters, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. That's a lie that the father of lies has conjured up, and he's trying to convince people in the church that that's how it should be, that it's just a personal thing. It's not just a personal thing. Yes, it is a personal thing, but it's we're to be concerned about the salvation, the souls of those people who are around us. We're not just to sit back and say nothing while people are going to hell. We need to share the love of Jesus. We need to share the person of Jesus. We need to share the truth of Jesus to the world that needs him. Maybe we should be making a list of our own of those people that we know who need Jesus in their life. And that list that we have then becomes our prayer list. And we're lifting those people up to God every day, asking for their salvation. And we're willing to talk to them as opportunities arise. All through 2024, I have been emphasizing to you the theme, Mission Possible. And here we are, just 6 weeks away from the end of the year. And we'll move on to a different theme when 2025 comes. But before we get into the Christmas season, what I want to do for these next three Sundays is look back and highlight some of the things that I have already said over the course of this year, but I think they're worth saying again. I don't know, maybe you're like me. If something is said just once, I may or may not get it. It may just go right over my head if it's said just once. I may be distracted at the time that it is said. I may be thinking about other things or looking elsewhere when that one thing is said one time, and I may miss it. But if it is said over and over and over again, chances are a lot better that I'll get it. I'll receive it. I'll bring it into my heart and into my mind. Here's the question I want to ask you today. What if we really got serious about prayer? I want to read some verses to start out with, and then I want to come back to that question. And all of these verses have to do with the subject of prayer. Psalm 17, verse 6, I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Psalms 102, verse 17. He will respond to the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their plea. Psalms 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. From the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Jeremiah 29, verse 12, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will, what? Listen to you. Let me move to the New Testament for just a moment, and Jesus had some things to say about prayer. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. How about Mark chapter 11, verse 24? Jesus is speaking there. He says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. James 5:16 says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. There are so many more verses that I could read to you today about the subject of prayer, but time does not permit me to do that. The Lord invites us to pray to Him. And He says there is great power in prayer. And so why wouldn't we take the time to pray? Why would we not take advantage of that power that is available to us through prayer, particularly as we're thinking about lost souls that need saved? Why wouldn't we take the time to pray fervently for lost souls to be saved? It's pretty evident from Scripture that this is where God's heart is. Nathan mentioned the Great Commission that is on our wall, and it was the last thing that Jesus said to His disciples before He went up into heaven. And you've heard it said, I've said it many times here in my preaching, last words are lasting words. And Jesus' last words here on the earth were about souls that need saved. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. That's where the heart of God is. And that's where our heart needs to be. And if God hears us saying these prayers about lost souls being saved, God's going to want to answer those prayers. And so we need to take the time to go before God, and we need to pray to Him for lost souls to be saved. So I want to go back to that question. What if we really got serious about prayer? I think the mission of winning the world to Jesus would be very possible. He would supply the power. We would simply be His instruments. I want to take you to one other scripture and show you what happened when a church took seriously the challenge of Jesus to pray. And of course, this was the early church, the church that we find in the book of Acts. Chapter 4, verse 31, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And so here's my first point. If we got serious about prayer, there would be a great moving of the Holy Spirit. And several times in Scripture, we see the moving of the Spirit connected to prayer. When Jesus was baptized, have you ever noticed this? Luke, in his gospel, adds a detail that the other gospels don't include. This is what Luke says about the baptism of Jesus. Jesus was baptized too. And as He was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on Him. Now, what's the detail there that the other gospel writers don't include? It's the fact that Jesus was praying, and it was then that the Holy Spirit came. If you read Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel, it almost sounds like the Spirit came as Jesus came up out of the water. But what really is happening, Jesus is baptized, He comes up out of the water, and He's praying to God the Father, and it's at that point that the Spirit comes down from heaven. And then what does He do after that? Where does He go after His baptism? He goes into the wilderness for the purpose of prayer and fasting. And He's there for 40 days. And after that period of intense prayer, What happened next? Luke 4:14 says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. There is a connection. There is a direct connection between praying and a great moving of the Holy Spirit. Do you want a great moving of the Holy Spirit in your life? Then spend some time in the prayer closet. And I'm not talking about, you know, a literal closet that you need to go into. That would be fine if that's what you want to do. But I am talking about just some time alone with God the Father, that you would do that on a regular basis. I try to do that on a regular basis. Now, some days are better quality of time than other days. But this is something I have had a habit of doing for years. Years ago, I was challenged in this area of prayer. And I believe that it is so important. It is essential for us as God's children to spend time with Him. I was doing a Bible study recently on being overcoming burnout. And the author said one of the keys of avoiding burnout is to spend time with God in prayer. And during that time, your spirit is refreshed. And I know that to be true. And there was a question in the study that we were doing. Tell of a time that you have felt burned out. And I have never felt completely burned out in ministry. And I give praise to God for that. Because I know there are a lot of preachers that get burned out and they just want to quit. I've never felt that. I think one of the reasons that I've never felt that is that, and this is not casting a judgment on them, I don't know their situation, but one of the reasons that I have never felt burned out in ministry, now I have been weary in ministry, I have been tired in ministry, but I have never been burned out to the point that I'm fed up with it, I don't like it, I want to quit, I'm done with it. I've never experienced that burnout. And I think the reason why is that I have been consistent, I have been diligent in time with God in prayer, and during that time, He refreshes my spirit. And that is possible for every one of us to be refreshed as we go into that prayer closet with God the Father. Now, as we were doing this lesson together, several fellows, the challenge was that we would take some time to just get alone with God and pray. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to do that. I had worked this lesson ahead of Tuesday morning when we get together, and I had decided I'm going to take some time on Tuesday afternoon just to get into the prayer closet. And so after I was finished at community outreach. I finished that at 11:30 on Tuesdays. I went by Jill's This and That restaurant. It was good. It was real good. And she does carry out. Every day she has carry out, has two choices. And I'm giving her a little ad this right now. But it's good. And I got a carry out lunch, and I went to what's the park south of Cottey College? Radio Springs Park. And I found a picnic table there, and I ate the lunch, and then I just had some prayer time with God. And the picnic table was in the shade, and it was kind of chilly in the shade. And so the sun was shining so nice that day. I just went down to a grassy knoll there, and I sat on the grass, and I just had a time with God of prayer. Probably an hour or longer. Just talked with God. And I came away from there feeling refreshed in my spirit, renewed in my spirit. I want to ask you, and as I'm at, do we want to have a great moving of the Holy Spirit in our life? Then, if so, we have got to take some time to be with Him, to quality time in prayer, to make that a habit. Put the phone down. Lay aside the social media for a time. And the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. And your time, your picnic table in the park might be a deer stand in the woods. It might be a walk by yourself along a country road. It might be on your couch in your living room when things are quiet and the TV is off. But take some time. Find some time. Make some time to be with God. Do we want a great moving of the Spirit in our church and around this world for lost souls? Then spend some time in prayer and pray for the Spirit to be unleashed and the barriers to be broken down. I am so glad Nathan shared today about Mission 15 and what's going on around the world, because actually that was a part of my sermon today, and I'm thinking he's stealing my thunder today. But I think we need to hear it. We need this challenge. At the first part of the year, we started talking about Mission 15, and we invited you to be a part of Mission 15, and 50 people from Reinhardt signed up and said, I want to be a part of Mission 15. I'm committing myself to Mission 15. And if you are one of those 50, I just want to encourage you to remember your commitment. Make sure that you are following through with your commitment to God over Mission 15. And one of those commitments is that you would spend 15 minutes a week in prayer for lost souls around the world. The other commitments are that we would give $15 a week or a month, $15 a month towards Good News Productions to enable them to make media for people around the world to have opportunities to hear about Jesus on their phone in their own language. And it's working. The other commitment to Mission 15 is that you would be willing to witness about Jesus to 7 people between now and 2030. So those 3 commitments, I want to challenge those 50 who signed up for that. Remember your commitment. And the opportunity is still there. If you want to be a part of that, you can sign up, because it's from now until 2030 that this is going on. And we have people all across this country who are joining Mission 15, and they are praying for lost souls 15 minutes at least every week. And you heard from Nathan what's going on around the world. There are so many people wanting to know more, wanting to learn more about Jesus, wanting to be baptized into Jesus, that Good News Productions do not have the number of people needed to meet all of those needs. When the Spirit is unleashed, oh my, it goes beyond our imagination. And he mentioned what God is doing in Indonesia. It's the most Muslim concentrated country in the world. And people there are wanting to come to Jesus. He mentioned Iran to our board this last Monday night as we were meeting together. There are things going on in Iran spiritually that are really good things happening. And Africa, when I went to Africa a year ago, August, I mean, they think they can win their whole continent to Jesus. And they have a plan as to how to do that. God is doing amazing things, and I think it all starts when we get serious about prayer. There is a moving of the Holy Spirit when we get serious about prayer. I appreciated one of the songs that we sang this morning. Spirit, come down. Rest on us. Move in us. That's what God wants to do. In fact, Nathan mentioned this as he's talking to our board the other night, and it's not the first time that I've heard about this. In fact, I have been hearing about this for a number of years, and I didn't ever look on the internet to find out about it, to do research on it. I did this last week. He talked about so many Muslims are having dreams. Have you heard of this? So many Muslims are having dreams, and in those dreams, a man in white clothes is appearing to them and identifies himself to them as Jesus. And I since Nathan said that, and Good News Productions is getting all kinds, is this right, Nathan? They are getting all kinds of feedback from Muslim people around the world who are giving testimony of this. They're having these dreams of this man who's appearing to them. And I mean, I looked on the internet and there is testimony after testimony of people telling their story of Jesus coming to them. I read about Jafar, J-A-F-F-A-R, a 23-year-old Iraqi Shiite Muslim who had a reoccurring dream about a man in a white garment. In the dream, Jafar is on a bridge that is crumbling. Now picture that. If you're in his shoes, you're on a bridge, and the bridge all around you is crumbling, and the man in white appears and opens a door and invites him in to a safe place. That was his dream. Here's another fella, Berik, B-E-R-I-K, a man who grew up in a Muslim-majority country and had a dream of a man in white clothes the night before joining a special forces training program. Berik says that Jesus' invitation challenged everything he knew about relating to people, unquote. When God's people get serious about praying, our prayers make a difference, and the Spirit of God is unleashed to move mightily across the world, and He wants to move strongly in our world. He wants to move strongly in our family. He wants to move strongly in the county that we live in. What would happen if we really got serious about praying? Here's the second thing. If we got serious about prayer, we would speak the Word of God with more boldness. And we see the evidence of that in Acts 4, the passage that we read earlier. It said when the church had gathered for prayer, the place was shaken with the Holy Spirit, and the believers began to speak the word of God with more boldness. Anybody here need more boldness in their witness? Are you awake? I want to see, do you need more boldness in your witness? Okay, you are awake. And we do, all of us do, I do. It all starts in the prayer closet. You ask God for boldness. He says you don't have because you do not ask. We need to ask. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit to come and fill us up. And God wants to answer that prayer. Because this is his heart. This is what he's all about. And so when we pray for the Holy Spirit to come and fill us up, when we pray for boldness in our witness, God wants to answer that prayer. So God, would you give me more boldness to talk to my friends and neighbors? Would you give me more boldness to talk to my family members? Would you give me more boldness to talk to my schoolmates? Would you give me more boldness? Lord, here, help our church. Help me to invite people to come to church. Give me more boldness to give my testimony to people. We need more boldness. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." What if we got serious about prayer? I think we would have more boldness. I've noticed a lot of us here. We are bold as lions when it comes to talking about the Chiefs. Aren't we? Oh boy, we like talking about the Chiefs. I do. And we're all, you know, we're talking about that game last Sunday. Man, they were done. That game was lost, and they came out of nowhere and blocked that kick. And what was your reaction when that happened? Probably the same as mine. I come up out of my chair, hooping and hollering, and I came during the 5 o'clock hour for the packing party, and I'm saying, "Did you see that game? Did you see that game? Oh my! Did you see that game?" And everybody was talking about the game, and we have all kinds of boldness to talk about the Chiefs, and we need boldness to talk about Jesus. Amen. Because you give it a few months, we won't even hardly remember what the Chiefs did other than whether they won or lost. But we're talking about something that is eternal, of an eternal matter. Here's a third point. If we got serious about prayer, we'd see more souls saved. That's what happened in the book of Acts. Let me read some verses to you that follow up Acts chapter 4, where the church is praying and the Holy Spirit is moving. Acts 4:33, "And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all." Acts 5:14, "And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number." Acts 6:7, the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Acts 9:31, speaking of the church, it says the church continued to increase. And in Acts 17, you remember what happened? The apostles are accused of upsetting the world with the gospel, of turning it upside down. And where did it all start? Back in chapter 4, when they're on their knees praying, and there is a great moving of the Holy Spirit, and they are speaking the word of God with boldness, and the end result is they became an unstoppable force in that day. And we could see that more here if we really got serious about prayer. So that's my challenge to you. As you leave today, I just want to ask you, will you personally get serious about prayer? And maybe you already are. I'm sure that we have some folks here that are already serious, diligent prayer warriors. And praise God for you. In fact, you may not realize this, but since we have been emphasizing Mission 15 this year, 2024, and we have had 50 people sign up for that commitment, and 50 people praying 15 minutes a week for lost souls, we have had more baptisms here at Reinhardt in 2024 than any of the 7 years that I've been here. And we aren't even finished with the year yet. I don't think that is not a coincidence. When God's people get serious about praying, even 50 people, it unleashes the Spirit of God to work like He hasn't worked before here. Now, what if all 200 plus of us got serious about prayer? There's no telling what would happen. We'd be having to figure out where we're going to put them all. God, help us. Help us to know this is a serious thing, because souls are at stake. Let's pray.